Vayigach Korach. Okay, everyone, I put you over on mute. May when you swing, we hear the swing. We hear all the swings. Okay, let's begin. Welcome everyone. Here, let's learn Parashas Korach. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohos, son of Levi, v'dosan v'aviram b'nei Eliav. Dosan v'aviram, and they were the sons of Eliav. It's interesting because how often do we mention the yichus of Dosan va'avin? Dosan va'avin, they normally do not get armed. We don't normally miyaches who their parents were. V'oin ben Peles b'nei Reuven. Everyone here, this bechlal is a drush. Everyone over here gets yichus. Koirach, who's Koirach? He's ben Yitzhar, ben Kos, ben Levi. Who's Dosan va'avidam? They're b'nei Eliav. Who is Oin? He is ben Peles. B'nei Reuven. Why does everyone get yichus? Because when it comes to machlokes, it's in the blood. It's in the blood. Machlokes, troublemakers, are troublemakers, not from today. It's an art how to be a troublemaker. Your parents have to have taught you how to make trouble. And your grandparents taught your parents. And your great-grandparents taught your grandparents. This is the mitzis when it comes to machlokes. Let's see Rashi. Vayikach Korach. Rashi here is the famous word Rashi. Rashi says, "Parsha zo yofo nidreshes b'medrash Rebbe Tanhuma." This parsha is expounded beautifully. What does that mean? Yofa. This is a very powerful word. Yofa. What does the word yofa mean? Yofa. If not for this Rashi, we would think the word yofa is a word that you only use to describe physical beauty. A woman is beautiful. We throw around words. So to us, the words don't mean very much. But Chazal, they don't throw around words. When they say words, that they make major statements. And if Rashi, the opening Rashi, Parash Karach, says the word Yofa, this Parash Yofa Nidreshes is coming out to teach us something very profound as to what the word Yofa means. Okay, I don't know what he means. Let's just leave it with that. Vayikach Korach. Now, what is the translation of the word Vayikach? Lokach es atzma litzad echad lias nechlak mitoicho edo. He took himself. Vayikach. We learned the word Vayikach already many times together in Chumash, and Vayikach ordinarily means to speak, to take with words. You approach someone and you persuade them. You speak to them, and your words are convincing to achieve your goal. Here, that's not what it means. Here it means, Vayikach means he took himself, letzad echo, to one side, liyos nechlak mitecho edo, to be separate, leorer, to complain, ala kohuna, to complain against the kohanim, v'zeh shtirim yungalitz, v'ispileg. Okay? And this is what the Targum says. Okay? And this is what the Targum says. The Targum says that the word of the ispaleg means he took himself. The word palag means to separate. Nechlak mishor ho'eda, he separated. Lahachzik b'machloikes, to take hold of machloikes. V'chein, there's a pasuk, ma yikochacha libecha. What does that pasuk mean? Why does your heart... Read the words out of order. Ma yikochacha libecha. Why does your heart, libecha, take you outside of the community to raise machlokes? Lokeach, Rashi explains, v'shan this pasuk in Iyov. Lokeach oischa. Why does your heart take you, lahaflikcha, to separate you, mishor b'nei adam, to be different than everyone else? So Rashi here is coming to tell us the Targum. He's coming to expand upon the Targum and explain that the Vayikach of here is not the usual translation. It means that Korach took himself outside them to be different. He decided to break away from the union. Dover Acher. Now Rashi says his pshat. Vayikach Korach. This is the classic translation that we use the word Vayikach throughout the entire Chumash. Moshach. Roshe Sanhedrios Shebohem Bidvorim, words. The word Vayikach almost always means to take with words, to speak to a person, to persuade them, to convince them to do something that's not in their best interests with words. And who did he speak to? He spoke to the Sanhedrin, Shevachem, the leaders of the Sanhedrin. He spoke to them with words, Kmo she'amar kach es Aaron, just like we find the word kach used in that context, it means to speak to Aaron, convince him. Kichu imochem devadim, that is the Haftarah that we read for Shabbat Shuva. Kichu imochem devadim v'shuvu el Hashem. Take with you words and speak to Hashem. And say to Hashem, persuade Hashem that you are sorry for your sins and that Hashem should not harm you. Okay, so over here Rashi is very important. Rashi over here has presented for us two different translations for the word Vayikach. Either Vayikach means to take yourself and separate from the Eda, to separate. And by separating yourself, you are creating Machloikis. Or Vayikach means he went to the Sanhedrin and tried to persuade them to rebel up against Hashem. Okay, we'll come back to that in one moment. Ben Yitzar, let's go through the Rashis. Ben Yitzar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, Vlahisker, Ben Yaakov. Over here we're laying out the Yichus, but we do not mention Yaakov. Why do we stop at Levi and we don't go to Yaakov? Shebikesh Rachamim al Atzmai Shelo Yizocher Shmoi al Machlu Koisam. Yaakov Avinu al Pi Ruach HaKodesh was aware the day would come when there would be a rebellion. And he knew the leader would be Korach. He saw this coming. And he was mispalil that Yaakov's name, his name should not be mentioned as Machlokes, Shenemar, Uvikoholom, and in their assembly, Al Techad Kivodi. May my honor not be unified. Vehechon Niskar Shmoy Al Korach. However, even though Rashi says that Yaakov was mispalil that his name should not be associated with the Machloikis, he did have some affinity to his enikel. V'heichon niskar shmoy shel al Korach b'siachsam al aduchan, when the family of Korach, when their lineage was traced all the way back to their roots at the time of when they were appointed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. B'divrei Hayamim shenemar ben Ev Yosef ben Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi ben Yisrael. So here, in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we were miyachis many of the popular families in Klal Yisrael. We were miyachis this family called Avi Yosef, who was one of the children of Korach. We know that it was b'nei Korach loymesu. Korach's children, they did teshuva. They did not die. And not only did I die, they were appointed to a very choshu position to sing Shira in the Beis HaMikdash, and the family of Avi Yosef, who is he is Ben Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. So Rashi here is teaching us, Rashi here is really contradicting himself. On the one hand, Yaakov, Rashi tells that Yaakov was misspelled, his name should not be mentioned with Korach. On the other hand, Rashi tells us that his name was mentioned with Korach. And what is the answer? What's the why? One place yes, one place not. The answer is, when Yaakov Avinu did not want to be mentioned with Korach, that was in reference to a situation when there would be machlokes, when there was an ugly machlokes. That's where Yaakov did not want to be mentioned. But when his name, when Korach was not associated with machlokes, Adarabba, here it's associating with beautiful, lofty things. When Klal Yisrael sings Shira to Hashem, then Yaakov had no problem. He was happy that his name should be connected to Korach. Let's go further. V'dosan v'aviron. B'shvil shohoye shevet ruvein shori What does it say over here? Sharu b'chaniyosam teimana. How did Dosan v'aviron get messed up? So he explains. Shevet Ruvain was right next to Korach. One more time. B'shvil because shohoye shevet Ruvain sharu, they lived b'chaniyosam teimana on the southern side of Eret, of the Machane, on the south. Shochein Likahos. They were neighbors to the family of Kohos, Ubanov and his children, Hachoinim Teimana. they all lived on the south. That is why nishtatfu im Korach, that's how they got messed up. They joined with Korach b'machlu kosai. So Korach was from Shevet Kehos. And Korach's Shevet Kehos, they encamped on the southern side of the Mishkan. Who else encamped on the southern side of the Mishkan? Shevet Ruvain. And Dasan v'Aviron, Bnei Eliyav, Dasan v'Aviron, and Bnei Eliyav, and Oin ben Peles, the common denominator of all of these three were all Bnei Ruvain. Oil Rasha, Oil Shechenai. Okay, so Rashi is telling something very, very important, and that is, go to the Pasuk, go back to the Pasuk. Vayikach Korach ben Yisrael ben Kos ben Levi. When it says the very end of the Pasuk, the two words Bnei Ruvain, that's going back on everyone. Who was the Bnei Ruvain? Number one, Dasan v'Aviram. Number two, Bnei Eliyav. Dasan v'Aviram, who Bnei Eliyav. And number two, v'Oin ben Peles. Both Dasan v'Aviram and Oin ben Peles were both from the tribe of Ruvain. How did they get mixed into this ugly machlekes? They were neighbors. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shchenoy. Social pressure. Do you know how many people would be wearing masks today in shul? Why are they not wearing masks? It was up to them. Why? Social pressure. If no one else in the shul wears a mask, so why should I wear a mask? If they were in a shul, everyone is wearing masks, they would wear masks. There are certain people that are very powerful. They have to have their way. And they set the tone. And most of the people, they don't carry the way. They're influenced by their surroundings. And that's exactly what it says over here. Korach was a real troublemaker. He had a real influence. And these people, they got swept up. They would not have, had they been in the right company, they would have been tzaddikim. They got swept up with bad friends. And that's what happened to them. Okay, let's go further. Now, Amar Korach, what happened over here? Further in Rashi, Amar Korach lachlik al Moshe. Why did Korach come to fight with Moshe? So Rashi over here is telling us over here a lot of yesodis of life. Niskana al nisiuso shel Elitzafan ben Uziel. He was jealous that Elitzafan ben Uziel was appointed to be the Nasi of Shevet Levi. Sheminohu Moshe Nasi al b'nei kohos al pi hadibur. Now, what do we mean? That Rashi explains. He was jealous that his cousin Elitzafan ben Uziel was the cousin of Korach. They were first cousins. Now, Rashi explains in detail. Omar Korach, Achei Abba Arba'o Hayu. My father had three brothers for a total of four. There were four brothers. Shenemar, he quotes the Pasuk, which lists the four brothers. Who was the oldest? Rashi says, Amram HaBechor. Amram, he was the oldest. Notlu Shnei Bonav Gedula. Amram's two sons, Moshe the Aaron, they took Gedula, Echad Melech V'Echad Kohen Gadol. Moshe was the Melech, and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. Now, who was the second brother of the four brothers? Mi Roy Litol Es Hashniya, Loyani, Shani Ben Yitzhar. The second brother in the family was Yitzhar. So the third, he's telling us over here, very important, Yisrael, there were three. What's the hierarchy of honor in Klal Yisrael? The highest level is the Melech. The next level is the Kohen Gadol. The third honor is the Nasi. So if Amram took for himself and his family, his children, Melech and Kohen Gadol, the next brother should get the next kavod of his son should be the Nasi. Who was the second brother? The second brother was Yitzhar. And what did Yitzhar, who was Yitzhar's son? Korach. And Korach got nothing. Instead, it went to the child of the third, went to the child of the third brother. Who did he appoint Nasi? As Ben Achiv HaKotan Nikula, not the third brother, the fourth brother. The fourth brother, the youngest brother, Korach is Ben Yitzhar. Yitzhar was the fourth brother. Let's actually go to that pasuk. Shemois vav pasuk yud ches. Shemois vav. Oh, Chevron. That's the one. Chevron v'Uziel. Chevron, okay? So Chevron was brother number three. Chevron. So Chevron also got nothing. And who got the cover? The number four. They went all the way down to the last one. The last one was Yitzhar. Shani ben Yitzhar shuhu b'sheni. We were little loyani. Shani ben Yitzhar shuhu b'sheni l'amram. Korach was ben Yitzhar. Yitzhar was the second child. Chevron was the third child. And the fourth child was Ruhumane Nasi as ben Achiv HaKatan Mikulam. He gave it to, the fourth one was Uziel. He was number four. It's not fair. So Meh also, what did he do? Because of the jealousy, what am I going to do? I'm going to argue with Moshe. He gathered 250 leaders. Most of them were his neighbors. They were Elitzur ben Shedeur and his friends. Shenemar, Nisye Eda, they were all leaders. Kiriei Moed, and that's going to be the next pasuk. The next pasuk is going to go. Rashi going to tell us exactly the meaning of this pasuk. These are the leaders, people that Kiriei Moed Rashi Machlekes. What does that mean? People that were negotiated. They were part of the Bezdin that decided when the Moadim should fall out. When should it be Rosh Chodesh? Okay, we'll come to that, and if that's Rashi, we'll explain that pasuk in a few moments. Ulahalan hu'aymer, eile kiru'ei hu'eda, and elsewhere, back in Bamidbar, we learned before, these were the people, and who was amongst those people? The leaders of the Eda, it was Elitzur ben Shedeur. That was Ruvain. Ruvain was the leader of Elitzur ben Shedeur. Let's go further. Vilbichan talisais shekulan techeles. Notice over here that Rashi says that a talis, the plural of the word talis is talisois. How many of us say talisim? Is talisim incorrect? Or is the correct term for the plural of talis talisois? So in Hebrew, it appears the correct term is talisois. However, it could be that talisim is a plural for Yiddish. Okay, so it's not necessarily wrong. I once heard someone tell me, I always thought that when people say the Shabbosim, you always hear people say, how many Shabbosim? Shabbosim, Shabbos. I know a person that used to make litzanis. So anyone who says Shabbosim, it's ignorant. There's no such thing as Shabbosim. It's Shabbosois. Shabbosois. And you hear Rabbonim, Choshe Rosh Yeshiva, they say very often Shabbosim. And I was brainwashed that they don't know. It's ignorance. There's no such thing. But very recently, I heard someone speak and say it's not wrong. Shabbosim is the plural of Shabbos in Yiddish. I don't know if that's true either. Does anyone here know that to be a fact? Shabbosim is the plural in Yiddish. Shabbosois is the plural in Lashon Kodesh. So here, talisois, we follow the same pattern. Talisois is the plural in Hebrew. Maybe there's such a thing as talisim is the plural in Yiddish. I really don't know. Let's go further. But what did he do? He dressed them all in talisos shukum tcheles. Bava amdul fin Moshe. They stood before Moshe. The amuloi. And they asked Moshe the following question. Talis shukula shal tcheles. Chayeves mitzitzis ay betura. If you have a talis and the entire talis is tcheles, is it obligated in tzitz or not? Omar lohem chayeves. Yes, it is. A four-cornered garment requires tzitzis. This is an incredible Rashi. They began to laugh at Moshe. L'sachek. Efshar, can it possibly be talis shalmin acher? If you have a talis made from wool, that's not tcheles, or linen, or any material, the law is chut echot shal tcheles poitra, zo shakula tcheles leitifter es asma. Don't you think that it itself should exempt itself of the entire talis as tcheles? Don't you think that it should exempt itself? So Now, if you look at the Rashi very carefully, Rashi says there was a double-edged double attack. Number one, they said to him, the logical argument. It doesn't make any sense. But there's a lot more to Rashi than just that. Rashi says they began to laugh. Litzachik. They began to laugh. What would have happened if they would have argued against Moshe without laughing? They would have taken very seriously what Moshe said. Moshe paskin atalis shekul tchelis ischayvin tzitzis. And they would challenge the argument. And they would say, why is that? Why is that correct? If the entire a beggar that's made from a different material is exempt with a chut of tcheles, should not be that the beggar itself is called tcheles, it should be exempt? If they would have just presented the logical argument, it would not appear they would have won the day. Because Moshe, there are many reasons we could appreciate. Tzitzis is not the tcheles is not a din in the garment, it's a din in what is attached to the garment. What kind of question is it? This is a very simple answer. A garment that's four corners needs tzitzis. The din of tzitzis has nothing to do with the color. The biggest proof is we today wear tzitzis even when we do not have tcheles. The requirement to wear tzitzis has nothing to do with color, has to do with a garment that has four corners. It's not the color. A chut of blue is going to exempt the garment. Look, today we don't even wear blue altogether, and we're still chayiv in tzitzis. You see, it's not in the color. It's a very simple rebuttal. Yet they won the day. You know why they won the day? Because they laughed. They laughed. They poisoned the environment. You know, they always tell people when there's a controversial court case, they tell people, come to court, pack the court. So when the judge issues his verdict, he should have to say it. He should have to issue the verdict in the presence of many, many people. What are you going to accomplish? If the law is the law, the law is the law. And the answer is, more often than not, there is no law. Everything is subject to interpretation. How many things in life are black and white? Everything is subject to interpretation. There are certain guidelines, and there are certain principles, and now we have a situation that requires a decision, and you can dreir azoy, and dreir azoy, you can go and you can play around with it. So if you have an environment of people who are present and are expressing a certain will, it changes the logic. It changes the way someone looks at something. The success of Korach was not so much their legal argument. It was they laughed. By laughing, they poisoned the environment of Mishpat, which then allowed people on their own to decide, oh, Moshe's wrong. Moshe's wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu was making up things. Okay, let's go further. B'nei Reuven, by the way, Rashi only quotes you one half of the Medrash. The other half of the Medrash talks about a bias. That yes, Moshe Rabbeinu have a bias that's full of Sfarim. Are you having a mezuzah? And Moshe says, yes. They laughed. Madach, you have a bias that's empty, and you put up one mezuzah, you're exempt. A bias that's mole Sfarim. Don't you think that the Sfarim themselves should exempt the bias? Okay, that Rashi is not quoting. And then it says over here, B'nei Reuven. As I mentioned before, this is very critical. Dosan va'aviram v'oin ben Peles. When the pasuk concludes B'nei Reuven, it's going back on both families. Oin ben Peles and Dosan v'aviram, they were all descendants of Reuven. And as Rashi in the beginning of his parish explained, the reason why B'nei Reuven fell into this machlekes was because they were neighbors to Korach. And Oy l'rosha, Oy l'shchenoi. Okay, so we've looked over here, quite a mouthful. Parsha zo yofo nedreshes. We learned over here, Machlokes, what it means, Vayikach. Does Vayikach mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Korach, he separated himself? Or does it mean that Korach tried to persuade, to convince other people to join his battle? Then we discussed Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi, we stopped short of Yaakov because Yaakov was mispallel that his name should not be mentioned in Machlaikis, even though he's very happy to be mentioned if his name would not be part of Machlaikis, if it would be part of the Duchon of the next generation when they would give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we mentioned why B'nai Levi? Oil Rosh, Oil Shechenai. Okay, then we mentioned what was the entire cause of Kerech's Machlaikis? Kina, jealousy. The whole world operates on the fuel of jealousy. What was the jealousy? We learned that Yisoid, some don't even know this. I didn't know this. Amram had three brothers. It was a family of four. There was Amram, there was Yitzhar, there was Chevron, and Uziel. Amram's two sons, they took positions of Malchus and Kuhuna. And now the next position in line is to be the Nasi. It should go to the next brother. The next brother is Yitzhar. And instead, who does it go to? It goes to the youngest of the four brothers, Elitzafan, Zelofir. That is the trigger of what led Korach to go mad, to go make this ugly machlokes. Okay, Rashi mentions that a Kirui Ho'eda, they were Nesiim, who was part of this machlokes, the Nasi himself. The Nasi, well, this was there were two Nesiim. There was this Elitzafan, the Nasi here that he pointed was Elitzafan ben Uziel. But there was another Nasi. And there was another person that was the Nasi of Shevet Levi. But the Nasi of Shevet Reuven also participated in this ugly machlokes. Who was the Nasi of Shevet Reuven? It was Elitzur ben Shedeur. Okay, and then Raj tells us, it's very fascinating thing about the Talisos. And what did they do? Two things. Sechoik, they made Leitzonus, and they presented an argument. The argument is total nonsense. And the only reason why the argument won the day was because of the Sechoik. It's like today, Black Life Matters. What kind of crazy nonsense is this? To defund the police, to let them loot and to rob and to steal and to terrorize people. What kind of crazy garbage is this? This is the kind of logic. The logic is worse than the monkey has better logic than this type of logic. You know why? It's because sechoik. It's because there's such sechoik out there in this Medina. The pressure. Some nichnas bochem ruach shtus. And this sechoik is what perverts sound logic. Just like the logic that Korach presented is total nonsense. The din of the beged has nothing to do with the color, has to do with the corners. Who cares whether it's tchilis, not tchilis? It's the din of the corners. The logic is shtus. But when you add to sechoik, then you make a new Torah. And the new Torah, a whole new Torah based upon sechoik. That's why Chazal say that when you learn Torah, it has to be be'ema, breses, be'zeya. That's really one of a very important yisod you learn from this Rashi. Chazal, it's not for nothing Chazal say when a person sits down to learn Torah, he has to sit down and learn Torah in a state of seriousness. Be'ema, breses, be'yira, be'zeya, all of these expressions. Why? Because if a person learns in a state of sechoik, of laughter and litzanis, it gets a little giddy. You can say a svara, you can convince yourself of a logical argument that is so foolish, but in your mind it makes a lot of sense. You know why it makes a lot of sense? Because your frame of mind is a frame of mind of sechoik. If it was a frame of mind of ema yira reses b'zeya, then you wouldn't even fathom to say such a foolish argument. Like I said, that's mamash what we see today with this Meshagas. They take down the statues of all these, out of their mind, mamash, nitrifadaitam, because there's an atmosphere out there of sechoik. There's not an atmosphere of yiras haremimus, yiras shamayim, and that's what leads to all this crazy nonsense. Now let's look at Rashi and the Targum. Targum, we always mention this yisoid, that Rashi can only be appreciated against the backdrop of Rash of Rav Targum. After you learn the Targum, you first get appreciation of what he's saying. One second, someone is knocking on the door. Yes, of course. Bags are in it. The sound is good. You told me the sound is a little choppy. Okay, let me see. Maybe I can do. I can do something very quickly. Let me see. It's not clear. All right, so we have 10 minutes. You know, we have. Let me. I'm gonna log off and log back on. Be back in 1 second. Okay. Be back in a second. Back here, it's still not what I wanted to do.
It's learnable, it's just a little.
Yeah, it's no good. All right, next time.
Yeah.
All right, today it's not good. I had a Pashka, okay? I'm sorry. For next time, we'll try next time to improve the situation. In the meantime, at least I'll do one thing. I'll try to. Maybe this will make a difference. Not likely, but. All right. By the way, today I made progress after the shiur in setting up something new in the shul in Midwood, that it should be better. Permanent. Hopefully, it'll be a permanent improvement in the quality in the shul. Here, I have to find another solution in this place. All right, let's go further. For a few more minutes, we have over here the Targum. The Targum says the Isbelei Koirach. So here's the word that Rashi referred to, v'ispeleg, v'yikach, does not here, according to Targum, mean that he took it with words, but it means v'ispeleg, it means he separated himself. Koirach bar Yitzhar, bar Kohos, bar Levi, v'dosan v'avidam b'nei Eliyav, v'oin ben Peles, b'nei Ruvain. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Now let's go to the next pasuk in the parash, pasuk base. V'yakumu l'fnei Moshe, they rose up, l'fnei. The word lifnei is a very important word in this pasuk, before Moshe. Va'anoshim mibnei Yisrael chamishim musam. In addition to Koirach, Dosan va'aviron, Oin ben Peles, there were four people. We have four major players. Four major players. Koirach, Dosan va'aviron, Oin ben Peles, and Oin, right? That was right. The rest of it says, Va'ikach Koirach, Koirach, Dosan va'aviron, Oin, and now those are really three teams. Team A, Team B, and Team C. Team A is who? Team A is Koirach. Team B is Dosan va'aviron. And Team C is Oin ben Peles. Now we come to Team D. Team D are 250 men. Notice it says Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, period, and then it says Va'anoshim ibnei Yisrael chamishim u'mosayim. If you were writing the pasuk, wouldn't you write it like this? Vayakumu lifnei Vayakumu anoshim ibnei Yisrael cham. Wait. All right. Forget, put that on the side. And then Vayikumu lifnei Moshe. Why are we putting Vayikumu lifnei Moshe in between the Anoshim ibnei Yisrael? And the answer is going to be hidden in the unusual translation of the word lifnei that is given to us by the Targum. The Targum deviates from what is ordinary. Lifnei always means kodom. Kodam, that's the usual word in Tanakh, in Chumash, for unculus, Lifnei means kodom, before. Here he writes v'kamu le'ape. La'ape means in the presence. They stood up in the presence. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, when he translates these words, he says v'kamu b'chutzpah. He has a different word. Well, they stood up with chutzpah. Obviously, Unkelis also understands it in that light, and that's why he did not say the word kodom, but use the word la'ape to indicate that they stood with chutzpah. But the fact that these three words are put in the center before the next words, va'anoshim ibnei Yisrael chamishim u'masayim, teaches us that only Team A, Team B, and Team C acted with brazen chutzpah. Team D did not act with chutzpah. They were more delicate.
Kadam is always a sign of respect because it always says Kadam is Kadam Hashem. It always says Kadam, like by Dabar Shem Moshe Lamar, as we said all the time, it says Kadam.
Kadam.
It's a sign of respect, but
fantastic.
Like a mom sees just confronted him face to face.
That is why you cannot possibly, that is why the Targum had no choice but to change the translation here, because over here it cannot connote respect. Just the opposite. They stood with chutzpah before Moshe. That's as far as Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D, they just stood on the side. V'anoshim b'nei shol chamishim mosayim. Who were these people? Here's what Rashi called before. They were nisi'ei edah. Now this is a very fascinating words, which the Targum really goes to town with. They were the princes of the edah, of the assembly. They were also called the Kiriei Moed. What does that mean? The people who were called, or who called, they called the Moed. We'll see what this means. Anshei Shem, renown. People of renown. Three qualities are related, are ascribed to the 250. Number one, they were Nisi'ei Edah. Number two, they were Kiriei Moed. And number three, they were Anshei Shem. It obviously goes to teach us that you can have one without the other. You can be from the Anshei Shem and not be from the Nisi'ei Edah. You can be from the Kiriei Moed and not be from the Nisi'ei Edah. Obviously, these people were very, very special. They wore three hats apiece. They wore three hats apiece and they joined Korach. Isn't that strange? I mean, you have everything already. Most people don't have even one of these three things. Most people are nobodies. And they're not joining. These people, then there are people that have one. Oh, wow, you reached the Madrega where you called a Nasi. You called a Nasi. But just because you called a Nasi, but I'm not from the Kiriei Moed, whatever that means. I'm not from the Anshei Shem, or all the different possibilities. It's amazing that the people that want it more are the people who have everything. The more you have, the more you want. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. People who have absolute, they want even more. The eighth, Misha yesh lo emone, roitze masayim. Rashi tells us, Rav, Kirwe Anshei Shem, and there is no Rashi on this pasuk, okay? Now, even though there is no Rashi on this pasuk, but there's Targum, Rashi was very Rashi. You know, this itself is something to appreciate. Sometimes when Rashi does not provide a perish, that is a perish. Okay, anyone who learned Rashi believes in this. You come to realize this very quickly, that Rashi's godless is not just what he does say; it's in what he does not say. And when Rashi is silent, there's a message in his silence. But when you learn Unkelis and you learn the secret that everything Rashi says is taken against the backdrop of Unkelis. Unkelis is never quiet. Never, never. This is one of the, if you were going on Jeopardy, okay, and they asked you, define for me the most fundamental difference between Rashi and Unkelis. Define the most fundamental difference between the two. So probably one guy, Rashi wrote in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Unkelis is written in Aramaic. Okay, that's a nice difference, but that's not the fundamental difference. Sorry, That is not the number one fundamental difference. What would you say? What would you say is another? Rashi is Marich. The Unkelis is Makatzer. It's very Makatzer. Okay, that's very true. We can go on and on. We can go on and on and describe the obvious difference between Unkelis and Rashi. But do you know what the most fundamental difference between the two of them are? Unkelis translates every single word. Beli yoytze min haklal. There is not one word in the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah that escaped the pen of Unkelis. Rashi, selective. Very selective. This word, I will tell you what it means. This pasuk, I'll tell you. But the other word? No. Sorry, that's not my job here. Have a nice day. This pasuk, Rashi skips psukim. Rachmana, what is he doing, Rashi? He skips complete psukim. He skips parakim. He skips major chunks. What? How could you do that, Rashi? Unkelis did not skip one word. And that is something extremely important. Because if Rashi did not translate something, it basically means I am in full agreement with Targum. It's not that I'm not translating for you. My Perush is here to start up and to make trouble, to stir trouble for the Targum. If I am not making a comment, it means I'm one with the Targum. Rashi sometimes, so you'll say to me that this is where it gets really interesting. Because Rashi, many times when he agrees with the Targum, he says, Ki Targumoy. Oh, very nice. So Rashi holds, you know, if I don't tell you Ki Targumoy, it's as if the Targum doesn't exist. That's the impression you get when you just learn Rashi. If you never look at Unkelis, the impression you get is, if Rashi says Ki Targumoy, Rashi is the one who's putting the Targum on the map. Because if not for Rashi and Ki Targumoy, you would never even bother to look at the Targum. Unfortunately, it's very unfortunate, that's the way we've been brought up because we never seriously studied Targum. But the truth is, Mam is just the opposite. When Rashi says nothing, that means Rashi is mamish, buddy-buddy with the Targum. He's one with the Targum. When Rashi says Ki Targumo, you know we got a problem. That's the problem. What? What does that mean? Why are you saying Ki Targumo? Excuse me. Of course Ki Targumo. When Rashi says Ki Targumo, it's 99% of the time followed by, you know, I got a problem. It's Ki Targumo, but I got a problem, and let me let out some steam, my frustration regarding what the Targum says. So here, Rashi, we have a pasuk. The pasuk is really jam-packed. I mean, come on. Don't you think we need to know what it means, Anshei Shem, what it means, Nisei Eda, what it means, Kiryei Moed? Don't you think we need to know what those words mean? Don't you think we could benefit from Rashi telling us what these things mean? And Rashi, not a word, he doesn't even say Ki Targumo, because Rashi is leaving this 100% up to the Targum. And what does the Targum now say? It says in Pasuk Beis, first of all, shocking thing, V'kamu L'ape, they rose up with chutzpah. They stood right in front of Moshe's face, like I'm over here on the Zoom right in front of your face. La'ape Moshe v'guvraya. The reason why I have to get so close because I want the sound to be a little bit better. Otherwise, I don't have my microphone with me over here, so then I can sit back with the microphone attached. I don't have the microphone, so I want to get close, so maybe the sound will be a little bit better. V'kamu li'api Moshe v'guvraya mibnei Yisrael. Now notice, this is very, very interesting what the Targum says. The Targum does not say Mibnei Ruuvein. I mean, the Pasuk says Mibnei Yisrael, so you can't have any tainus in the Targum. Even though we know that it was not from the entire Klal Yisrael, these 250 men appear to be either all from Shevet Ruuvein or the vast majority. And yet the Pasuk, for some reason, it conceals that fact. It makes it sound like, if you don't know, you don't know what's going on, it makes it sound like these 250 people, they were, you know, scattered all over the country. No. They were, Chazal make it very clear, we'll come across that, they were mostly from Shevet Ruvain. Then it says, Now look what he writes over here. What are called the Nitzi Eda? The Rav Reve Kinishta. They were the leaders, like the Rav. The Rav Reve. Rav Reve is like a Rav twice. There's a Rav and a Rebbe. I love this word Rav Reve because, you know, by the Litvaks, there's a Rav. There's a Rav. There's a Rav. Either a Rav, Rav. You know, they have the Rav 4 now, all the Rav 5, the cars. There's a Rav. Then, by a Hasidim, you don't call the Rav. There's the Rebbe. The Rebbe, or the Rebbe. The Rebbe is the Rebbe. These people, the Nisei Eida, the Targum says, they were a synthesis between a Litvak and a Hasidish Rebbe. They have both letters, they have both words. They were Mitzad Echad, they were the Rav, the Rav, and they were also the Rebbe, a Hasidish Rebbe. Make up your mind. Do you have Tish or you don't have Tish? Do you shuckle or you don't shuckle? Make up your mind. What are you? It's fascinating that it's called the Nisei, called the Rav Reve. They're both. The Rav Reve of the Kinishta of the assembly. Does that mean they were the Nisim? Now, this is what's very interesting because in the previous Rashi, it seems that Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the word Nisei means they were the actual princes, the leaders of the tribes. Rashi, in the previous Rashi, Ruban Mishavet Ruvain Shechenov, Vehema Litzur Ben Shedeor, Vechalach Yitzvah Shenemar, Vehema Litzur Ben Shenemar, Nisei Eda Kirivinev, Hulahalno Emer Ela Kiru Eda. When it says Kiru Eda, it refers to the real princes. Okay, the real princes. And here, Rash, the Targum seems to lower our expectations. Doesn't say they were the real princes, they were the Rav Reve Kinishta, they were the leaders of the assembly. Does not necessarily mean they were the princes. Next, Ma'ore Zaman. Now that's, this is Ma'ore Zaman. Now what does that mean? We're out of time, we have to stop. But Ma'ore Zaman means, this is a very critical Targum, which means, Ma'ore is translated to mean the people who establish time. Okay, Ma'ore in Hebrew means koive. Okay, koive zman, which would then mean that they were part of the Bezdin that decided if Rosh Chodesh have 2 days or 1 day. That's a position. A position of scholarship. Only the greatest Talmidei Chacham were eligible to participate in the Bezdin and made decisions regarding time. And then it says, Anoshin Deshma Renown, which means, you know, they were inspirational speakers. Not all of the inspirational speakers are known to have incredible content. Okay, they don't all have this very deep. We all listen to the inspirational speakers. When it's all over, you say, what do you say? I don't know. What did he say? I don't have anything I can say over. But you listen, you were glued to the computer watching this guy talk to you for an hour. What did he say? I don't know. Can you tell me a vart? Can you tell me an idea? No, I can't. So what were you listening? I don't know. He was mechazek me. He said over a good story. He spoke about, you know, gave you a pep talk. These people are very good. They're very good people. They're very good people. They're the best of the best. They're renowned, world renowned inspirational speaker. But doesn't mean they're eligible to participate in the Sanhedrin to discuss the most complex mathematical calculations to determine if Rosh Chodesh have 2 days or 1 day. To be part of that group, you have to be, that's a different group. That's called the Kiriei Moed, the people who decide time. The intellectual elite, are not necessarily the most popular people. Most citizens in the United States of America cannot tell you who sits in the Supreme Court of the United States. But they can tell you who all the baseball players are and all the basketball players are. But the baseball players and the basketball players, some of them don't have a brain in their head. ain't like Mayach Bikod Kadoi. And the people who sit in the Supreme Court, they couldn't swing at a, they don't even know how to swing a bat. Okay, they don't know nothing, they don't even know the rules of basketball. Ha'iluchot v'ha'iluchot. And Nisim, these are the leaders. The leaders are a different quality. Okay, so at least we get it's the point of when Mishnah here is according to Targum, he's telling us very Chiddush Kriya Avodah, that means people decide time, and it appears that there might indeed be a machlokes in Rashi and the unkelis as far as the Nisi'ei Eidah. Does it mean they were the princes, or does it mean they were just the Rav Revei? They were the leaders. Leaders means they had shtelis, they had shuls, they had batei midrashim, they had organizations, but does not necessarily mean that they had the title of the Nasi. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Okay.